Scripture reading this evening will be from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. That's Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it."
Well, good evening, everyone.
Always thankful for the opportunities that I have to be before you.
You know, you look around our society and you look and you make observations just as we all do, and I feel like there's a dilution of Christianity. Slowly but surely, more stuff is being added to Christianity, but it's not necessarily the stuff that makes Christianity what Christianity is supposed to be. I remember growing up and at my grandma's house, she'd always have Kool-Aid. And she was never strong on the flavor, so what she would do is she'd always add a little bit more water. And as she added more water, what happened is that Kool-Aid flavor got a little bit weaker and weaker and weaker. And when I look at Christianity, I think to some degree that we just keep adding to it, but we're adding things that don't really add to the flavor of Christianity, not really what it was intended to do. We're kind of losing that salt flavor, and it's really tasting like something else entirely. Just like Kool-Aid, if you add enough water to it eventually, it just doesn't even taste like Kool-Aid anymore. It just tastes like a mixy mess of some sort that you're like, I'm not sure what this is. It's not quite water, but it's not quite Kool-Aid. It just kind of lost all of what it needs to be. And I think that's the way Christianity has certainly become around us, is as we look around, it doesn't taste quite the same as it used to. It doesn't look quite the same as it used to, because I think it's been watered down. And I think one of the places where we can see Christianity being watered down is in Luke chapter 9. Because when we look at Luke chapter 9, it's given us a picture of our Christian life, and when we look at it and we start comparing it to what we see around us, perhaps it doesn't meet the expectations of God. It doesn't meet the expectations of the Bible. We're dealing with a diluted Christianity, a watered down Christianity all around us. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, it says, "And he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." When we look at this passage, I start to think of things that, you know, there is a lot to the Christian life that people are slowly but surely trying to leave out. That there's parts of the Christian life that people don't want to live or have in their life anymore, but slowly but surely what they're doing is they're diluting the expectations. And we look around us in relation to the way people follow God and the way that people serve God, the way people deny themselves. Perhaps it's not quite the same as the first century, quite the same as what God is expecting. You know, you start to ask yourself the question, what does God expect of me after I'm saved? What does God expect of me after I've been born again? Because our society will give you all kinds of expectations that they think that you should be going. But as we look at our own lives, we have to consider, am I neglecting those things which God really wants to be in Christianity? Do I have those core elements that God wants me to have? Am I walking the way that God would want me to walk? Or am I neglecting the Christian walk in the way that He would want me to walk? In Luke chapter 9, there's one thing that it says that we should be doing daily. And one of those things, I think there's a lot of things there, but number one is follow me. Are we daily following Jesus? You know, there's a lot that comes with following an individual. You start thinking of this following an individual in a physical sense. You have to pay attention. There's some times where my dad and I would go out to the woods and we would be deep in a really gorgeous area. And you know what? If you don't pay attention, if I didn't pay attention to my dad, sometimes I'd lose him. You know, I would have to yell out for him. Because sometimes we'd be in very wooded areas and I've been to Canada a few times. There's some places that are extremely wooded. And if you take your eyes off an individual for too long and you start going off and you might walk another direction, it might be hard to get back to that person that you were following. To follow someone, you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to their movements. You have to pay attention to what they say. I remember growing up, we went to Disney, and, you know, there was one time where I thought Disney was actually going to keep their promise to me, of dreams coming true, and that was when we lost my brother. Now, just joking. So we were in Disney, and Disney is very populated. It was late at night, and they had the fireworks going off, and my parents were trying to get us out of there. We saw the fireworks before, and they said, hey, let's get out of the park before everybody rushes out. So we're trying to, and my dad says, make sure you keep your eyes on me. You know, make sure you keep your eyes on me and stay close. You know, don't get too far away. Well, we had a little line because I've got two other brothers and a sister, and then there was my mom, and we were just a little line just trying to weave our way through all this crowd at Disney, and my younger brother, he got lost. You know, we ended up finding him, you know. I thought they were going to keep the promise to me there, dreams come true, losing my brother, but that was only for about 5 minutes or so. But, you know, if you lose sight, if you take your eyes off the goal, if you're not paying attention, you know, there's a point where you realize, I'm not following Jesus just because I'm not paying enough attention. I think this is one area of Christianity that certainly has been diluted. Following Jesus means something totally different, I think, in what the Bible is telling us and what people are trying to tell us it means. You know, following Jesus today is like following at a distance, at a very safe distance. But I think what the Bible is really trying to paint is that they're following Jesus as closely as you can. And the question is how do we do that? And I think it's by studying the words of God. By looking at what He says and what He teaches, looking at those words, looking at what He says, seeing the application to our lives, and trying to follow those. But people have kind of changed what it means to follow Jesus Christ. In terms of following His words, what they say. You know, it doesn't really matter if you're an earshot of Jesus. We wouldn't say that same thing if we were following someone in a situation. We would say, you need to stay an earshot. Not only do you need to stay an earshot, you really need to stay in visual. You need to be able to see the person that you're following. But the religious world around us, they say, you know, it's all right if you start to get this little separation between you and Jesus. It's all right if you can't always hear His voice. It's all right if you can't always see Him in the world and all these things that are around us. So what we see is a totally different picture of people trying to follow Jesus in the Bible. A good example is in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Paul is escaping Thessalonica and he comes to the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, he commends the Bereans and he says these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans were searching the scriptures daily. Why? Because they wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to follow His teaching. They wanted to follow what the Bible actually taught. They didn't want to go off of what a whole bunch of other people were saying and all the noise around. They wanted to make sure that what they were being taught by an apostle was accurate and in compliance with the Word of God. Are we checking the inspired scripture? Are we checking, are we reading it on a daily basis? Because I think this is one way that our society has slowly started to lose Christianity, and they say, you can follow Jesus without His word. You can follow Jesus even though He's far out of your sight. You can follow Jesus even though you're not listening to His direction, even though you're not following His steps, even though you're not watching where He is going. You can still follow Jesus. And slowly but surely, I think we see this creeping in all around us. The value of studying God's Word, following Jesus, keeping Him in earshot, keeping His Word in our heart, is slowly but surely being de-emphasized. It's not as big a priority as it perhaps was in the past. And I think we can see this as we look around our world. Do we really have the idea that we find in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2? It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow, thereby desiring the milk of the Word is crucial to our lives. It's crucial to a baby's life. And what God, I think, is trying to paint in this picture in 2 Peter is, you know what? The spiritual Word, the Word of God, is just as necessary to our spiritual lives. If you don't have the spiritual food, what is going to happen? Well, you're going to be malnourished. And in a physical sense, we can see this very clearly. If someone is not eating, we can see that manifest in this physical plane of life. But people, for some reason, think that we cannot nourish ourselves spiritually, and people aren't going to notice. But what has happened is, our society slowly but surely has become overall spiritually unnourished. So we look around and we go, well, look at this person. They're not doing too bad. Well, really, they're really malnourished. But we're looking around and comparing ourselves with the people of the world. We're looking and we're like, hey, we look a lot like them. You know, similar to how people maybe in Africa are starving, but they're like, they're just as malnourished as I am. Because our country, because our society has diluted this idea of following Jesus Christ and the emphasis that's put on Bible study, we look around the society many times and we're like, we're not as bad as them. But is that really what God wants us to be? Is that really what He's looking for? You know, that message that we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, this idea of desiring the pure milk of the Word, I think there's an implication there, and the implication is consistency. Is a consumption of God's Word consistent in your life? You know, if you didn't eat every day, you might have some problems with that, but I think a lot of people have become okay with not eating spiritually every day because they look around and say, you know what, everybody else isn't eating spiritually every day, so it's okay for me as well. But I don't know if that's really the picture that God is trying to get at when He's saying, follow me. Hang on my Word. Watch where I go. Listen to what I'm saying and make sure you're following my steps. I think of the past oftentimes when I think of dilution. You know, I think of perhaps what my grandparents that passed on the earth, if we could bring them back, how they would perceive, you know, how church life is today. If I could bring back my great-grandparents, if they had a chance to walk through our assemblies, would they be surprised? Or would it be what they expected? In terms of our Bible study, if they walked into our homes, if they were looking at our prayer lives and the way that we studied our Bibles, how would the past generation view us? And I know that that might not be the metric that you want to go by, and I understand that that's kind of a worldly metric, but my point is I think there's been this slow dilution, where if you went back a couple generations, and we could bring them back, and they looked at us, and they'd be like, you don't study the Bible nearly as much as we did. And not that I want to get into that, but the idea I want to get at is, have we been deluded from the point where God really wants us to be? Have we let everyone else around us influence our behavior in the way that we live our Christian life? Have we let the delusion affect us when we're supposed to be the salt of the earth? Have we let the things around us affect us? You know, I think of Bible study quite a bit. I think of and I don't know if there's necessarily a perfect metric, but I did a little research. They said 15 minutes to 20 minutes a day of reading can get you through the Bible in a year. 15 to 20 minutes. Most television shows are half an hour. And 15 to 20 minutes, most individuals can get through their Bible in a year. Put it in perspective of chapters. Of course, the chapters are all different, but if you read about 3 to 4 chapters a day, you would read through the Bible in a year. Have we let the society around us dictate the Christian life to us? What it means to follow Jesus? Because what the world is trying to say, it's alright if you follow Jesus from a distance. It's alright if you don't listen to His words. It's alright if you don't look at Jesus' actions. It's alright if you don't apply anything to your life. Follow Jesus at a distance is our new accepted Christianity. Follow at a distance at a point where you don't know what Jesus is saying. Follow Jesus to the point that He's not even in your sight. He's not even in your visual. You know, I think about Judgment Day and all the things that are going to be said there. Matthew chapter 7 gives us a little picture. Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Certainly, following Jesus involves us studying to the point that we can distinguish between good and evil. That we can distinguish between the will of God and the things that are not the will of God. But our society says, no, you can do what you want throughout this life, do whatever makes you happy. Jesus loves you. He's not really concerned about what you do upon this earth and the actions that you have. But I wonder about those conversations. I wonder if we were justly questioned by God what His expectations really are when it comes to our studying of His Word, when it comes to following Jesus. In John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, it says, he who rejects me, Jesus speaking, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. You know, on Judgment Day, I wonder many times what the conversation is going to be, but I wonder if any questions will come out quite like this. Did you read my book? He says in John chapter 12, he says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him." And here we are at judgment day. People are saying all kinds of things. Well, I thought I could do this. I thought I could do this. And I wonder if the answer or the reply will ever be a question. Did you ever read the book? Did you even have time to read the book that I left you of the expectation of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ recorded so we could read them over and over again like a tape? Did you ever read that book? How much did you read it? Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect individuals, but I think we have to be very careful, because as we look around our society, they're slowly but surely trying to change all these definitions. They try to change what church means. They try to change what marriage means. They try to change what baptism means. And you know what else they're trying to change? What it means to follow Jesus. And their definition, I think, varies a lot from what the Bible is trying to show us. Following Jesus is a daily action. Something that we should be pursuing. And it's hard to follow someone when they're out of your sight. It's hard to follow someone when they're out of earshot of you. And many people are trying to live their Christian life that way. You know, if we search the Holy Scriptures like we search social media, perhaps we would be in a different situation. If we search the Scriptures like we search social media, perhaps we'd be in a different situation if we search the Scriptures like we spent time on our phones, or perhaps like we spent time on television. You think about that. 15 to 20 minutes. Of course, I think that was for an average reader. I know some people read faster, some people read slower. And you know what? You can even have the Bible on tape now. But 15 to 20 minutes a day, and you can be through the Bible in a year. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the pinnacle. Because I wonder if I could sit down with some of the people of the past and I started questioning them, hey, you know, just out of my curiosity, how much did some of those people of the past read the Holy Scriptures? They certainly didn't have as many distractions as us. But I wonder, how much did Abraham Lincoln read his Bible? He certainly quoted the Bible in a lot of his writings. You think of the founding fathers, and you think of some of those individuals. Has there been a slow dilution of the expectations of the Christian life? Well, you say, Kyle, that's just one area of study. Well, I want to actually look at some other areas. I want to look at the area of service. Because when you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, it says, "He said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Not only do we have the idea of following, but I think we certainly have this idea of service. You're losing your life to some degree, losing your life in service to God. And the Christian life is a wonderful life to live. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." I think the Christian life is a wonderful life to live, but it doesn't mean it's a life without responsibilities. And I think that we should consider those from time to time. In Acts chapter 6, I think we find a group of individuals that first period of time, a lot of things are going on. I would say the busyness of just life and things that are going on in the situation that they find themselves. But in Acts chapter 6, they have to make some adjustments in relation to their service. In Acts chapter 6, it says, "Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may be appointed over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Here we have a situation where the disciples, it appears they're multiplying, and the gospel is being successful at being spread, but something's being neglected. It seems like the widows are being neglected. And the answer to this problem is not stop preaching the gospel, but the answer to the problem is, hey, we're pretty busy trying to preach the gospel. Why don't we appoint some good men over this issue so they can take care of it? So the gospel can still be preached, and these individuals can be taken care of. That sounds like a good solution. Well, what's your point? I think a lot of times we get caught up in this. We get caught up in one aspect of the Christian life. Certainly, preaching the gospel is very important, but you know what? It's also important serving others. making sure others are taken care of, and together as a family, as a unit, as God has designed the church, we can take care of these various things, utilizing the various talents of the congregation. But I think a lot of times in the Christian life, what has happened is a few things in the Christian life have become acceptable, and other things in the Christian life have been set aside. We don't need to serve in that way anymore. We don't need to visit those people anymore. We don't need to do this or that. You know, in the area, in the age of social media, we can just text them or do something of that nature. I feel like some of the service of the Lord's church has slowly been diluted. Are we doing the same things that the church did in the first century? Trying to take care of those that are in need, watching out for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, trying to extend that helpful hand. A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed, and I think a lot of times we can look at it and say a lot of things have changed, not for the better. We are so busy, we have forgotten to serve in the ways that God has asked us to serve. To watch out for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. To extend that helpful hand when it is needed. Certainly, I think that's an idea we see in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There is an obligation that we have towards one another and those that are in the world. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 it says, but exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. Some of these responsibilities, obligations, services we have to one another. Have some of those been left undone because we're focused on other things? See, the solution in Acts chapter 6 wasn't stop preaching. Hey, you guys stop preaching. We don't have time for it because you guys have to do this. You have to serve and try to help in this area. No, that wasn't the solution. We will have some people serving these individuals, and we'll have some individuals preaching. Distributing the load, distributing the service. But I think through the dilution of our country all around, what has happened is some of those things that should be done are now forgotten. Some of those things that should be done and should be considered as duties and responsibilities and service to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are slowly being forgotten. Well, they aren't doing it, so I guess I don't have to. And that's kind of the policy when it comes to study, isn't it? Well, these people around me aren't studying the way they should, so it's okay if I don't study the way I should. Well, it's okay that these people aren't serving, so it's okay if I don't serve. A constant dilution of the Christian responsibilities and obligations that we have to one another. Certainly, we need each other's support. We have a long race in front of us, and without each other's support, kindness, prayers, forgiveness, consideration, thought, all of those things, encouragement, it's hard to get to that end of the race in one piece. You know, we have obligations to one another. The younger have obligations to the older, but certainly the older have obligations to the younger. And you see that all throughout Scripture. And it's a relationship that God emphasizes, that He tries to show that the importance of it, the importance of the body of Christ, the importance of the Church of Christ, and the void that we fill in one another's lives. You know, some individuals, when they become Christians, they give up a whole lot. And sometimes the only void that have a chance of getting filled is by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes when people become Christians, sometimes they lose parts of their family. And some of those boys, not that those will ever be told completely, but the family of God can help and serve each other. But are those things being forgotten? Is it becoming acceptable that some of those common services that should be rendered are no longer rendered anymore? Something else we see in Luke chapter 9, we see the idea of following, we see the idea of service, but we also see this other idea of sacrifice. And I think that's an idea that certainly around us is something that I think is almost being preached away. The sacrifice of being a Christian. There's no sacrifice anymore to be a Christian. In fact, it's being preached almost the opposite way. Become a Christian, all your diseases will go away, all your problems will go away, all your struggles will go away. That's the way it's sold now. But that's not the Christianity of the Bible. The Christianity we see in the Bible tells you up front there is going to be a sacrifice. There is going to be a sacrifice. And you might be surprised what the sacrifice is. The sacrifice is you! The sacrifice is you! God is not interested in dead sacrifices anymore. If we look in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Did you know that when you became a Christian, you became a sacrifice? A living sacrifice to God. And yet we have people running around our society and saying, oh, there's no sacrifice to the Christian life. No, you are the sacrifice. You are giving your life to God. Your old man died, you're resurrected, a new creation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it's a sacrifice that continues. And that idea is found all throughout the Scripture. Jesus many times explains to Christians, or individuals before they become Christians, that this life has a cost. It is a sacrifice of yourself, and not only a sacrifice of yourself for others many times. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but the interests of others. Certainly that's a sacrifice of yourself, putting other people's interests before yourself. You have to slide yourself to the side and say, this is important for these individuals. Let each of you not look out for his own interests, but also the interests of others. You know, you think of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You think about all the Scripture is interwoven and connected, and there is an idea that is very strong in Scripture, and it is the Christian life has a sacrifice. That sacrifice is you. It involves denying yourself. It involves denying some of your worldly interests and pursuit of sin. In First John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has in this world goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Are we carrying ourselves in the way that we are a sacrifice to the God? We're sacrificed to God in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we serve others, in the way that we try to spread the gospel. We are a sacrifice. We are a vessel of our Lord. And being a sacrifice and denying our own interests, what happens is everybody takes a front seat to ourselves. And you think about Jesus, that's what he did. Jesus never asked anything that he did not do. Jesus was a sacrifice for us. And he took it in a very physical sense, going to the cross, being crucified. He was a physical sacrifice. And there are sacrifices to the Christian life. I think of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah is having a hard time there, and he's going back and forth in Jeremiah chapter 20. And he has this whole dialogue, and he's going back and forth, and he says, I'm going out, and I'm preaching, and you know what they're doing to me every day? They're mocking me. And he actually repeats this multiple times in Jeremiah chapter 20. He said, I'm going out, and I'm preaching, and I'm doing the best I can, and you know what? No one's listening to me. Not only is no one listening to me, but I'm getting very discouraged because they're making fun of me, they're mocking me, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, in Jeremiah chapter 20, but he's saying, I'm going through a hard time. Jeremiah was sacrificing. You think that was easy? You think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He rattles off all kinds of things that he went through in his life. Sacrifices. Sacrifices for what? The cause of Christ. And his list is quite extraordinary. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting around verse 23 through 28. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death more often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepiness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. He goes through all these things. And I don't think Paul is in any way trying to, you know, I think what Paul, when I look at this, I try not to take it in a way that Paul did not intend it. But I look at all this, and what was a sacrifice? Paul went through a lot for the cause of Christ. And certainly we, when we look at our lives, when we look at Jeremiah, we look at Paul, we look at anyone that is a Christian, there's a sacrifice there. But that's not what the world wants to tell you. Christianity is a life without sacrifice. Christianity is a life without law. Christianity is a life without pain. Christianity is a life full of everything that you would ever want, ever desire. No sacrifice. When I look at what the scriptures teach, in my opinion, it's quite the opposite. It's a living sacrifice of yourself to endure many things that many people could not endure without the promises that Jesus has promised to those that follow him. And our sacrifices in this country in particular for so many years have been so small. But as the country turns away from God, our sacrifice in many respects is kind of up the ante. Will you be a Christian in this situation? Will you be a Christian in this situation? Will you be a Christian in this situation? Because those challenges are coming. You think of all these individuals that we look at and we talk about, and for so long in America, we could look at them from a distance and just say, wow, look at these individuals and look at what they went through. That's amazing. And then we never think of, you know what, we might be in that same situation one day. We might be in the same situation as Daniel when they outlaw prayer. You know, in many respects, they tried to. You know, they've gotten it out of the school. Slowly but surely, they're taking it away from the sporting event. How long will it be until they try to creep into your home? We've looked at these individuals in the distance so long, and we said, look at their sacrifice. And maybe we haven't thought about, maybe the day of our sacrifice, very similar to these individuals, is coming. When we are going to have to be a complete sacrifice, a living sacrifice for our Lord in whatever way He needs us to be. Are you sacrificing yourself for God daily? Because I think that's really what He's after. Have you thought about that? Just think about that for a second. Are you sacrificing yourself for God daily? You know, there's a new Christianity on the horizon, and many people would say it's already here. A new Christianity where no study is needed. A new Christianity where no service is needed. A new Christianity where no sacrifice is needed. Many people would say that Christianity is already here. It's all around us. People are preaching it every day. A Christianity with no study. A Christianity with no service. A Christianity with no sacrifice. And what I would like to say, based off Luke chapter 9, is that's not Christianity at all. A deluded Christianity that is being sold as the real deal. You know, when you think of this life, a life of service, a life with sacrifice, a life of studying and trying to follow Jesus to the best of our ability, I think the best way to pursue that life is to check your attitude. And the best way, I think, to check your attitude is to think about what God has done for you. Because it seems like such a big thing. You're telling me I've got to study and try to follow God. You say I have to sacrifice, I have to serve. It seems such like a big task. And whenever you get overwhelmed, I want you to think about this. Think of God and what He does for you every day. That's a good way to check your attitude. God has given you life today. He has given you air today. He has given you water today. He has given you food today. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Certainly He has done that. Certainly God has paid the cost for us. Certainly God has done all these things in front of us. He showed us His sacrifice. He showed us His service. You know, when we fall out of the attitude of we need God, I think that's when we fast fall away from the Christian life. When we say, you know, we don't need God anymore. When we forget God and our attitude turns away from our Christian responsibilities, because we have forgotten about God and all those things that He's done for us. I'm so thankful for God and all the things that He's done for me. All those benefits that I need to take advantage of every day. His grace, His mercy, the physical blessings, the food. You think about His forgiveness, all those things that God has done for us. It makes the Christian life far easier to bear, knowing that God's on your side and thinking of all the things that He has done for us. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you've walked off that straight narrow path and you need to come back. To take up your cross once again and daily follow Him. Daily follow Him in relation to your study, and in relation to your service, and in relation to sacrifice. perhaps you would like to make yourself right with God this evening, there's nothing more that we would love to do than to help you with that. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand, as we sing.